You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hey everyone, it's Candace and Cher with Processing Trauma Out Loud. Cher and I are back for another episode on a topic that you and I, Cher, have been talking about really for the last hour. And that is, what has it been like for you, and we're going to talk about specifically women today, to find out that your voice didn't matter? Maybe your voice was actually completely silenced. Maybe you tried to use your voice and decided it was no longer worth it. So really, it's this relationship specifically for women of what it's been like to have your voice silenced. We know that there's kind of a scale here on what that looks like. Either you were completely shut down and silenced, and Cher, you and I talked about mine wasn't so much silenced. I began using my voice at a very young age, but then the despair that it didn't matter. And then not knowing how to use my voice and having easy access to anger and that getting shut down. Yeah, Cher, what are your thoughts on this topic that we're going to tackle today?
I feel it's so important because we hear people, women, all the time talking about hopes or dreams or putting themselves out into the world in some way and then having it be shattered or trying to rise up and say something and have it be disregarded. And just the recognition that there are so many women who struggle with this issue of feeling like their voice doesn't matter. That might be in their significant relationships. It might be at work or at any place, really. But to recognize that the effects of what we experienced in childhood have a huge impact on the way that we're allowed, I use the word allowed, to use our voice freely or not freely as adult women. And what do we do about that? And so, yes, I feel like this is such an important topic to really go back and take a look at. How did this act of silencing our voice or disregarding our voice, how did it show up in childhood, and how's it showing up even as we mature?
What I'm thinking of is times that I have seen parents. I actually just saw this with a parent with young kids. Her son got angry. He's, I think, six, seven. And he began expressing, you know, that he was angry, which was beautiful to me. So I already started seeing these dynamics. And she just got down eye level with him and said, I see that you're angry. And I won't share all the details, but there was this moment where she said, I want you to know that you can be angry and come to me angry, but what you do with that anger, we will have to discuss, you know, like healthy ways of how we handle our anger. It was just so beautiful to me. Here's what I want to say. It was just the opposite of probably what you and I experienced.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you as you were sharing that, do you remember a time of that happening for you?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. So I was an intense little girl, so I had intense emotions, not just anger. And so didn't really have anyone that could contain that. So it was always about a shutting down. It was about being happy, smiling, being thankful. There's kids starving in the world. You know, and I'm not saying there aren't times parents really do need to have some healthy conversations around gratitude and knowing how to use our voice, but that's not what this was. Any intensity in my emotions were shut down.
I think for me, it was certain things could really be talked about, more intellectual conversations. Could really be, I felt like my voice was heard and sometimes even really honored or validated. Mm-hmm. But if there was anything passionate, anything emotional, that was a big X over that. Mm-hmm. Not even only for me, but there were four women in our household. And I would say for all of the women, there was a shutting down I'm talking about my mom and my sisters and I. None of us had freedom to express ourselves emotionally in any way. And we did that in different styles. My brother, I don't remember him really expressing himself, although I feel like there would have been more acceptance for him to do so had he wanted to. But I know that for the women, for the girls in our home, completely disallowed. And I will say disallowed by both parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we may have a parent that can hold a little bit more, but definitely both of your parents did that in different ways. I was reading through my memoir the other day, again, as we're going through another edit, and there's a snippet of a story in there. This is that made me think of. So this was a stepdad, and I was probably junior high age. I honestly don't know what I felt angry about, but we know that there is something of anger, that it's a form of something not being fair or right or just according to your perspective. And so I remember getting angry and he slapped me and took my arms and threw me down on my bed. And so here's what I want to say about that junior high girl. That was horrific. It was not the way to respond. And it actually didn't stop me from continuing to use my voice. I was just using it in a way that no adult could hold the level of anger that I had.
And in that example, it's like your anger met his anger. Mm-hmm. Maybe his anger provoked your anger. I'm not sure what the story is, but it was anger and anger. In that he didn't meet your anger as the adult in the room. He didn't contain your anger. He didn't help you process your anger. He literally, physically, violently opposed and tried to silence your anger.
And he did in that moment. He did in that moment.
Ah.
And it just, yeah. So picturing that, oh, wow, that just makes me feel emotional. That what I witnessed the other day, that mama having the capacity to move towards the anger and hold it with boundaries. I can't imagine what that would have been like for me.
Yeah, no, me too. Because I think I was pretty quiet. I think I learned really early on. I mean, I just think I would shut down really early on. I don't remember even feeling angry as a child, we're talking about anger, but having anything contrary or significant that I wanted to express in a wrong kind of way. Like, I think what I'm trying to say is I learned the rules very early on, what was allowed and what wasn't. And so I acquiesced.
Mm-hmm.
I liked to just know the rule because I felt like if I would know the rule, I could do the rule and then I wouldn't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Unlike my sister, for example, who was much more expressive and got in trouble a lot because of her trying to be expressive and not following the rules and then getting into a lot of trouble. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what does it mean for a parent to contain anger versus shut it down. Because I think both, if we think about us as children and what did we need and what might that have looked like, I want us to really focus on that. But I also have a feeling, myself included, that I'm thinking a lot about how I parented when my children were little and how I allowed or did not allow them to express their voice, particularly their big emotion. And I'm just kind of wondering if we can talk a little bit more about, our voices were shut down or disregarded and ignored. The family had rules. The family system had certain ways that it allowed or didn't allow our voice. But let's talk a little bit about what we needed and what that might have looked like. And you already gave one example, but I wonder if we can just brainstorm a little bit more about what does a child need to help them use their voice and speak mm-hmm. their voice?
ideally, before anybody gets married, there's this space here that they can process and heal because we will bring it into our parenting.
Yeah.
We just will.
So we know.
Yeah. And until we know. And even then, it'll be a work of slowing down, noticing what's in our body, recognizing what our options are. And it is a process. But I think for like what it means to hold your child's anger is what you have talked about. I think in the last few episodes, you've used the word resonance, which is connected to attunement. So instead of the child being shut down, or actually the child just having a free for all and being chaotic, it's meeting the child with attunement, and that resonance is that child feeling felt. So when this mama said, "Oh, I see that you're angry." And when we're truly in attunement and there's resonance going on, we will actually feel that child's anger in our bodies. But if we have unhealed trauma, which a lot of us have and did, the anger that we feels too much for us.
Right.
So if it's too much for us, it's going to be too much for the child. But if we can tune and resonate with their anger and move toward them regulated and hold their anger and do the same thing that we do every day with one another and in our groups. We have kindness, we have compassion, we have curiosity, and we help people explore options. It's the same thing a child needs.
And I think there's also, I heard this somewhere a while back, that when a child is in high intensity, some children will be able to respond to when you come in and you're very calm. And that resonance within us just helps them breathe and helps them come down. And then also this person was saying that some children need high intensity to meet their high intensity. Not in an uncontrolled, chaotic manner. And I think we've done this. I'm thinking a lot about how sometimes in story group, we really do meet intensity with intensity. And we will express outrage, or we will share in the moment of anger. Sometimes that's exactly what the child needs, or that we needed also, was somebody to look at us and say, "I'm angry too," or whatever the issue is, "I'm sad with you." But coming with intensity is also, for a lot of children, or the same child in a different situation, might also be called upon, and is again why it's important for us to understand, what do those sensations do to me when I feel them now as an adult? Because if I get dysregulated by strong sadness and what that feels like in my body, if a child comes to me with that and I'm going into my own dysregulation, I can't hold theirs. Mm-hmm. And so it requires us to do a lot of our own work.
Yeah. And so discerning and differentiating what a child needs is part of the work. You can be regulated and say, "I see your anger." So feeling anger doesn't mean you're dysregulated. Dysregulated anger is outside the window of tolerance and where we either go into hyper or hypoarousal. But there's a sweet spot in our window of tolerance where we can feel anger and stay very much in our prefrontal cortex.
Yeah.
So I think that the work of the parent, it's just true. We have to do our own work before we can truly discern and differentiate for what our children need. Now, Here's what I want to say about that. Not perfectly. But if there's anything that I hope this episode can maybe provoke, is just that kind invitation again, that to the degree that you allow someone to move near you in all your emotions and your stories, will be the degree that you'll be able to do that with your children.
Yeah, and grandchildren.
Yes.
Because I think for me as a young mom, I had not done my work. No. And so I was very good at shutting down. the emotions of my kids and not knowing how to help them walk through and express. I think with my grandsons now, I am so much more able to come in and hold and contain their big emotions and help them process through them than I was back then. And it's exactly what you're saying, Candace, because I have done and I am doing the work of understanding so that when they go into dysregulation, I can meet them with intensity without me being dysregulated. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty remarkable how the soothing can happen in them in literally in seconds when that's the case.
So we're talking about voices being, our voice being shut down or silenced, or that our voice didn't matter today. I have a lot of different directions I could go right now based on a few things that you just said. I think we're going to do this in another episode, but I'm going to say it publicly and you'll remember it because you're going to listen to this. You have a story that you shared recently with me about your grandson, not so much around anger, but I am going to want you to share that at some point if you're willing. But where I want to go now, just as we close out, because we will go ahead and move into a part two of what we can do about recognizing that our voice has been silenced, because there's systems in place, and I'm just going to say specifically for women, that from childhood, it has been indirectly or directly made known that we need to just be nice, smile, just be pretty. And then we move into other systems that really aren't a lot different. There is a difference between a system holding the anger of a man and holding the anger of a woman. Listen, this isn't new information. There are studies done on this. I feel like I'm getting in a defense mode as a woman to say, just go read, go listen, go learn. I don't want to try to have to explain this as a woman. We just know that it's true. And so I would love to come back for a next episode and talk about, you have been completely shut down, or if you try to use your voice and it doesn't matter, what does it look like when we experience healing and how does that transform the way we show up and use our voice today?
Really good, Candace. I look forward to moving toward that topic with you.
Yes. Thank you, Sharon. Love you, friend.
I love you too.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing. If you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at candaceshare@gmail.com. That's candaceshare@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.